months of putting pressure on City Hall to commit to making higher education free finally paid off.
To California residents who are living in San Francisco, your community college is now free.
San Francisco will guarantee nearly $5.4 million a year to City College to pay for the tuition of students who reside in San Francisco regardless of their income.
ESPN was a crown jewel for Disney. We've been saying that for so long. It was also super consistent for the company, the biggest profit generator. What other parts of the business does Disney have that can make up for that?
Yeah, the two big areas that they've been leaning on, I think they will continue to lean on because they continue to invest in them, is their theme park business. They just invested $5.5 billion in Shanghai. They're building cruise ships as fast as they can put them in the water. And also the theatrical business, the film business, has been just an incredible, consistent profit generator.
Although public education works for many children in this country, including mine, it doesn't work for everyone, and that children should not be restricted in terms of their educational opportunities just by their zip code, just by where they live. We've got to look at homeschooling and charter schools and school choice and other alternatives for certain students. And so I think Secretary DeVos will be a very credible voice in that progress.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It is February 8th, 2017, 5:12 in the morning. Glad to have you along for another edition of The Opening Bell, another business day. We've got lots to cover today. Coming up in the second half of our program, we'll be talking about clean cities, the business of keeping our cities clean with environment, with electric cars. We'll have a guest on to tell us where Chicago ranks in all of this. And coming up, we're going to be talking a little bit about the cost of getting married as we get close to Sweetheart's Day, the big Valentine's Day holiday. But right now on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures pointing toward a positive open on Wall Street later this morning, up about 17 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are a little bit higher as well this morning, not doing anything gangbusters, but still in positive territory. Crude oil, $51.77 a barrel, is trading down almost a full percent. In Europe, markets generally mixed. In Asia, the shares generally mixed as well, following a subdued session on Wall Street as energy stocks were weighed down by falling oil prices. The Nikkei rebounded from earlier losses to rise about a half a percent. Hong Kong was up just about a half a percent as well. On Wall Street, an up and down day ended with very little lift after spending much of the day drifting between small gains and losses. Japan has reported a trade surplus at a nine-year high on an export rebound. The country says its current account surplus hit a nine-year high in 2016, helped by lower cost for imported oil and improved exports. The perennial trade surplus Japan runs with the U.S. are a sore point for U.S. President Donald Trump, and the data announced yesterday came just as the prime minister was preparing for a summit of meetings, including a meeting with Trump later in the week. Some other news, while you slept, consumers increased their borrowing in December at the slowest pace in 6 months, as growth in credit card uses decelerated sharply. It has been high over the recent months. The Federal Reserve says total borrowing rose $14.2 billion in December. Also, the Army Corps of Engineers given the go-ahead for the $3.8 billion Dakota Access Oil Pipeline to cross under the Missouri River and the Missouri Reservoir in North Dakota, clearing the way for completion of this four-state project that will end here in Illinois. The cost of a wedding. The average cost of an American wedding has reached a record-breaking $35,329, according to the latest survey. The couples who are seeking to get married will pay somewhere around the highest, I should say, is about $78,000. We found in Manhattan, Arkansas, the cheapest at $19,522. It is an expensive proposition to get married, and that's why we've brought in Pat Cutaletta today from Morgan Stanley. She handles marriage financials. And good morning, Pat. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you.
Good to have you with us. So the numbers of just the actual marriage ceremony are mind-boggling, $35,000. But there's a lot more to be thinking about, isn't there?
oh, there's so much to think about. And the problem we see, or the thing we try and remind people is, you know, when you're in the throes of, excuse me, the excitement of getting married, the excitement of planning a wedding, the excitement of receiving an engagement ring, don't forget the basics. And the basics have to do with finances, sharing information, basically the, setting the foundation for the rest of your married lives.
And how many mistakes make the, how many couples make the biggest mistake, first of all, going in by not being honest with each other about their money?
How many? I can't tell you, but I can tell you it's hideously dangerous. If you start a relationship, I don't care if it's a marriage or a business relationship, whatever, if you're not being honest, then that relationship doesn't have a great likelihood of making it.
We'll continue our conversation here, but we'll get into some of the separate little things that make up all of this worrisome news about getting married, more financial tips, perhaps, if you're getting ready to pop the question for Valentine's Day. We're on with Pat Cottoletta. She's with Morgan Stanley. We'll continue our pre-dawn conversation.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. In a day of subdued trading, the Dow Jones rose nearly 38 points yesterday to finish at 20,090, and the NASDAQ eclipsed the record it set last Friday, closing at 56.74. The S&P 500 was basically unchanged. General Motors' 52,000 hourly workers will be getting profit-sharing checks of up to $12,000. The automaker had a record year in 2016, including a $12 billion profit in North America. The payouts negotiated during contract talks with the UAW are based on GM's performance in its home market. Twitter is expanding its efforts to protect users from harassment. The social media giant has begun identifying people who have been banned for abusive behavior and will prevent them from creating new accounts. Twitter is also creating a new safe search feature, which will be implemented in the coming weeks. Meanwhile, Facebook says it's extending its bereavement policies. It also will allow employees paid time off when a family member is sick. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We're on this morning with Pat Cottoletta of Morgan Stanley, a financial advisor, talking about marriage. If you're thinking about popping the question for Valentine's Day, listen up. If you haven't already done some thinking about the financial part of it, that's our conversation this morning. Pat, before the break, we were sort of talking sort of generally about some of the cost. If somebody is planning a wedding soon, what's the first step they should take?
Well, I think they have to set a budget, first of all. And again, it depends on the age of the couple. It depends on how independent the couple is. If they're paying for their own wedding, they definitely have to set a budget. But if, you know, if mom and dad are paying, or mom and dad are paying a big percentage, same thing. You've got to know going in how much you can afford and pretty much stick to that if at all possible.
Is it better to have this money already there, or maybe put it on credit cards or finance it? I can't imagine that would be a good idea.
No, I think financing a wedding, I think financing a diamond ring, all of those things, again, are potentially dangerous because, let's face it, a lot of people have gotten married without a wedding, and the marriages have lasted 50 years. So, yes, is it lovely to do those things, but not if you have to mortgage the farm.
What is the most, the biggest cost of being married?
You mean after you're married?
Or, you know, is it before and after, if we might?
Well, I have a colleague, for example, who's right now helping his daughter plan her wedding. And when the statistic came out yesterday or the day before that the average wedding cost $35,000, his comment was, wow, they don't live in Chicago. So clearly that's a huge expense if you're going to have a big wedding. After you get married, there are lots of expenses. Do you want a first home? Or does one of you already own a home? Do you want to have children? How important is it for you as a couple to decide that you're going to educate your kids? Or, you know, are you willing to let your kids borrow money to go to college? Retirement planning. I mean, retirement planning is huge because many people are retired today almost as many years as they worked. And again, you can't retire on Social Security. So there are lots of major, major financial decisions that need to be at least talked about pretty early on.
And one of those discussions that I know is people I know have had very rough conversations about whether to keep assets jointly or single, and also the maybe having a prenup. Talk to us a little bit about those.
Well, I would encourage most people not to immediately commingle their assets unless they have just an almost equal asset base. We typically would encourage people to go a little more slowly about that. So why not open a joint checking account, for example, and use that checking account to pay your joint bills? So rent or mortgage or some of the things that basically apply to both of you. The thing you have to remember is if you own a home, for example, and you put your spouse's name on that house, meaning you now jointly own it, should your marriage not work out, he owns or she owns half that house. And it can be very difficult and very costly to unwind.
The notion that you might think about college and education at the point where you're getting engaged seems almost impossible to imagine, but it is one of those things that I could see creating problems down the road.
Well, absolutely, because you also have to remember when people, first of all, we're getting married older than we used to, and so it's not quite as far down the road if you're going to start having a family fairly soon. my business partner has three young kids, and she said it's amazing to think how soon one of them or two of them are likely to be in college. It just, you know, time flies. And so I think some of those discussions, you just absolutely have to be on the same page or very close to on the same page before you embark on a lifelong relationship.
We've been talking a lot about the cost here, Pat, but are there any benefits, cost benefits of being married these days?
Oh, sure. There can be tax benefits. Being happily married is absolutely wonderful. We don't want to be negative, but we just want people to think about some of the things that that can make married life so much better.
Yeah,
and one of them is not arguing over money.
Right. And I think one of them, I saw a commercial recently where they were arguing over their credit scores,
sure.
The couple was, and the one didn't realize that his high credit score would be impacted by her low credit score.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
How does that work?
Well, if you go to borrow money, whoever's lending you money, whether it's a mortgage company or whether it's an automobile dealer or whoever, they're going to look at both credit scores. They're not going to just look at the high one.
And the other thing, too, is the beneficiary notion of this. If you especially have kids, if you're remarrying and you may have an ex-spouse somewhere, you have to have the right person on benefits.
Absolutely. And one thing many people don't understand is that insurance companies or insurance policies, rather, annuities and retirement plans, so IRAs, 401ks and so forth, are what are known as beneficiary driven. So if you have a will that says everything goes to your spouse, but your 401k beneficiary form says your 401k goes to your ex-spouse, should something happen to you, the ex-spouse is going to be a really happy person.
And the current spouse is not going to be very happy at all.
Exactly.
This is the way you make your living, managing money. It is a way people get into arguments, though. And do you start out a marriage by taking the notion of who's going to be in charge of paying bills, who's going to be in charge of managing investments?
Well, I think dividing responsibilities can be important, but I would encourage both parties in a marriage to understand what the finances are, where the money comes from, where it's going, how it's being invested, how much is being saved, how much is being spent. Because again, stuff happens. You know, people become ill. If you're completely in the dark, and we see this in our practice, we see so many marriages, long-term marriages, where one spouse just doesn't have a clue. And then all of a sudden something happens, and he or she, A, is lost, and B, becomes very vulnerable to people who would take advantage of him or her.
I'm guessing this is where you come in. Maybe having an independent third-party financial advisor may ease a lot of arguments.
Well, we think so. I mean, that's what we do all day long.
Pat Cutaletta from Morgan Stanley, we appreciate you getting up and being with us this morning on The Opening Bell.
Sure. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. 540, the American Lung Association of the Upper Midwest and 8 Clean Cities Coalitions are combining forces to educate consumers about the performance and environmental benefits of electric cars. 8 states are involved in this, and also the Chicago Area Clean Cities Organization. Joining us this morning is the coordinator of Chicago Area Clean Cities, Sam Bingham. Sam, good morning.
Hi, Steve. Steve, thanks for having me on your show.
It's good having you here. Let's start first by telling people what Chicago Area Clean Cities is.
Sure. So Clean Cities is actually a U.S. Department of Energy program whose goal is to reduce our nation's dependence on petroleum and the transportation sector. Locally organized Clean Cities coalitions throughout the United States support this national program by initiating local actions within our own communities. So our role as a Clean Cities Coalition is to provide informational, technical, and financial resources to not only local fleets, but also other local adopters of alternative fuel vehicles and advanced vehicle technologies, which are hybrids and idling reduction technologies and so forth. The Chicago Area Clean Cities Coalition was actually designated as an official U.S. Department of Energy Clean Cities Coalition back in 1994. And annually, our coalition members have been reducing over 25 million gallons of petroleum each year, which is actually one of the best performing coalitions in the country.
And that was going to be my next question. Is there a report card grade you would give Chicago? How do we rank in terms of other cities? Are we competitive?
Yeah, absolutely. We're continuously in the top 10 as far as coalitions go. And actually, last year we received an award for reducing the most greenhouse gas emissions out of other coalitions across the country. And there's about 100 Clean Cities coalitions total.
So tell us about this new deal with American Lung Association and electric vehicles.
Sure. So tomorrow at the media preview day at the Chicago Auto Show, the American Lung Association of the Upper Midwest, the Department of Energy, and eight Clean Cities coalitions from seven Midwest states, which include Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and North Dakota, we're going to be announcing the kickoff of Midwest Evolve. Midwest Evolve is a three-year initiative to encourage consumers to drive electric vehicles. The goal of the initiative is to dramatically increase EV adoption throughout the Midwest by educating consumers about the performance and environmental benefits of EVs. Purchasing and leasing an electric vehicle is a bit of it involves a bit more planning and thought than it would, purchasing a gasoline-powered vehicle. So Midwest Evolve, with our initiative, we want to promote and demonstrate electric vehicles and their benefits through local public events and at workplaces, where we can provide consumers hands-on experience and in-depth brand-neutral education. We need to get people's butts in seats. A lot of folks still don't understand the technology, don't understand what the process is to purchasing an electric vehicle. And so this is a great experience for people to get behind the driver's wheel and realize the benefits and the performance that electric vehicles can provide.
Evolve the electric vehicle opportunities, learning events, experience. So it actually means something. Along those lines, Sam, is it important to get companies involved with this? Because I see that Sears and Advocate Health Center are going to get involved with this effort.
Yeah, so actually workplace charging is an excellent way to help grow the EV market. Recently, the Department of Energy named Chicago as one of the top five metro regions for workplace charging. There's actually 25 employer work sites that currently offer workplace charging around the Chicago area. Having access to charging at your employer opens up the EV market even further. So this being able to charge at work enables plug-in hybrid vehicles to maximize the number of miles driven on electric. A third of Chicago residents live in multi-unit dwellings and may not have access to charging at home because they don't have a garage or they don't have a dedicated parking spot. Your car's parked primarily at home and your car's primarily parked at work. So charging at work is a great option and an alternative to having charging access at home. In addition, what we've seen through the Department of Energy's workplace charging initiative, as well as through, local companies who've already adopted charging for their employees, you know, there's this kind of this effect where, you know, someone buys an electric vehicle and they all of a sudden become an EV ambassador and advisor to their coworkers. So this is absolutely, workplace charging is super important. And through Midwest Evolve, we hope to hold a number of events with employers throughout the Chicago area, meaning we'll have a lunch and learn, and then we'll also bring a number of electric vehicles along with us so people can have a ride and drive experience and get to understand the technology and feel it for the first time, potentially.
In the beginning, the interview, you mentioned that this was not necessarily brand specific, but how big of an impact is it when these brands start bringing down the cost of these electric vehicles, make them more accessible, bring them to auto shows? They do play an important role in this, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. And we couldn't do this without our auto manufacturer partners. EVs are absolutely coming down in price. And what's exciting about that also is that the batteries are actually getting larger. So we're seeing a reduction in price of EVs and the range getting bigger and bigger. So you'll see 200 to 300 mile electric vehicles coming to the market. The Chevy Bolt is here. It'll be coming to the Chicago market later this year. It's an exciting vehicle. You know, Chevy said that's going to be a $30,000 vehicle and get 238 miles per charge. You know, that's really important. Even though, like, over 90% of Chicago residents commute 40 miles or less, that meets the range limitations for most EVs. But, you know, if we want people to make EVs their number one car, not their second car, not their third car, and for more U.S. citizens to be able to adopt EVs, we need bigger ranges. We need them to be able to use that car for a variety of trips, even though the majority of their trips are within a short range.
Yeah, we also want to give some props to Nissan Leaf and Ford Focus Electric. Let me ask you this, Sam, because it's important. We see a lot of government cars, city municipal vehicles out on the street, buses, those sorts of things. How important of a role is it for governments and commercial fleets to be involved in this electric vehicle revolution?
Yeah, so with Clean Cities, we absolutely work primarily with fleets because that's where we get our biggest bang for our buck. Fleets put on a lot of miles. They purchase many vehicles. Their turnover is pretty, a fleet may hold on to a vehicle for 4 years and a private citizen might hold on to their vehicles for 10, 8 or 10. So there's a lot more turnover and a lot more opportunity for adoption in local fleets. And as I mentioned, high mileage vehicles benefit the most from EVs because there's such a fuel savings and maintenance savings. And so fleets are able to monetize those savings and turn it into, it makes green sense from an environmental standpoint, and it makes business sense when you can save from fuel cost savings and maintenance savings.
So again, tell us where we can come out and take in advantage of Midwest Evolve, see what the display is all about, see what electric vehicles are all about. When is this at the auto show again?
Yeah, so we're actually launching, we're announcing the initiative tomorrow at the auto show. And then keep in touch, stay in tune, Midwest Evolve, follow us on social media, follow the Chicago Area Clean Cities Coalition. We'll be announcing the events and the opportunities for folks to get involved over the next 3 years. We will definitely have, in the past, what we've typically done, we've actually had ride-and-drives at the Taste of Chicago. We've had a ride-and-drive for electric vehicles on Daly Plaza. We actually had a workplace charging event partnering with Baxter at their Deerfield headquarters. So if people are interested and think their employer would be interested in participating, definitely reach out to us at the Chicago Clean Cities Coalition at info@chicagocleancities.org. And we'll talk to you. We'll see if this is a great opportunity for us to help you work with your employer to make your workplace charging EV accessible.
Sam Bingham, the coordinator at Chicago Area Clean Cities Coalition. You can follow them at chicagocleancities.org and on Twitter at @ChiCleanCities. Sam, thanks for being with us on The Opening Bell.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures pointing toward a positive open later this morning when Wall Street opens up for business. So right now, commodities and agriculture. Here's Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. A pretty good day in the soybean market again yesterday. Strong export demand. Overseas buyers are waiting for the bulk of the expected bumper crop out of South America, but it still isn't apparently online for export. Corn futures also firmed, getting technical support after dipping to Monday's lows. But we also found grain traders probably squaring positions ahead of the monthly report from the USDA on supply and demand. The March soybean contract up 6 3/4 cents for the day. Active buying by Chinese customers again. Soft red winter wheat in March up 8 1/4 cents yesterday. And March corn was up 4 3/4. Strong performance in the lean hog contracts at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday. Fresh contract high on the February contract, and deferred months scored new monthly tops. February hog futures up $1.02 for the day. And as we take a look at the cattle market at the Merc yesterday, those futures closed higher as well. Strength from buy stops and technical buying. There's now an agricultural sentiment index. The folks at CME Group and Purdue University working on that. And agricultural producer sentiment hit a record high for the second consecutive month, according to the January Purdue CME Group Ag Economy Barometer. The January reading of 153 marked a substantial increase over December's record-breaking 132. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Now the Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this Wednesday, February 8th. No major economic reports due out from the government today. However, we are watching a couple of big earnings reports. India expected to release fourth quarter GDP data. SoftBank reports earnings from Tokyo today. Here in this country, a couple of companies that we're expecting to see earnings this week. They include for today Whole Foods, Time Warner, GlaxoSmithKline. For tomorrow, Twitter, Coca-Cola, Expedia, Yum Brands, Dunkin' Donuts, and then on Friday, Renault. Those are just some of the things that could drive the markets for this February 8th, 2017, Wednesday.